July 14th, 2016. You are looking live at San Diego, California. This is episode 6.4 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. I hope you enjoyed the return of Allison Futter last week, a couple days ago. I'm still in San Diego. The game just ended yesterday, and we are taping this on Tuesday, but I'm taping this intro on Wednesday. I said we had a special podcast this week. We have very excited to have a big second half preview with two of my favorite baseball writers. They are Anthony Castrovins, a writer and columnist for MLB.com, and Mike Petriello, also a writer for MLB.com, host of the StatCast podcast and my occasional colleague on MLB Plus broadcasts. You're actually going to be able to see him in August on a big MLB Network smart baseball broadcast. You will not see me on there. I'll be in Kansas City. And I don't think they asked me to anyway. Mike's really good at it. I'm trying. Anyway, they both know as much about baseball as anyone I know. So we got together and did a little second half preview for you. We went division by division. You can pick and choose which divisions you like with the little 15-second forward and backward button. But we went through and made some predictions for the second half. So Allison was supposed to be with us, but she was very busy. It was a very busy day. The All-Star Game is a somewhat busy day for the people of MLB.com. Anyway, so here is that podcast. Make sure to follow both Anthony and Mike on Twitter and see all of the work on MLB.com. I, of course, always ask you to please give us a nice review on iTunes and subscribe to us. It makes it easier for people to find the podcast. That's what this is called. It's on. We may have another podcast later this week. We'll see. It could be a surprise. But otherwise, the music is by the Sun Dogs. And hope you enjoyed the All-Star Game and enjoy the second half of the season. I'm off to Cleveland, by the way. I'm heading to Cleveland for the Republican National Convention, which I'll be writing about for Bloomberg Politics. I hope I don't die. Here is Anthony and Mike. All right, I'm here with Mr. Castrovins and Mr. Petriello. Thank you guys for taking time before the All-Star Game to chat with me on this. I know everything's incredibly busy. So we're just going to go and preview the whole second half, division by division. I have a few questions to toss out for you guys. First off, let's identify each other so everybody knows when they hear the sound who is who.
I'm Anthony Castrovins. I just had a bag of Doritos, and I feel vigorous.
Oh, all right.
I'm Mike Petriello, and I can actually smell the nacho cheese.
That's exciting. Yeah. The microphone just melted, actually, when he said that. But he's got edge. Okay, so I'm just going to, like, toss out some questions about each division, and you guys can answer it how you feel so inclined. We are in the MLB.com workroom right now, so if you hear people behind us yelling, that is
atmospheric.
That's atmospheric, exactly. Also, Allison Futter was going to be with us. She's unable to do it because she's actually working on something else. I can technically see her, and I kind of miss her. I know in the previous podcast I said we'd have her, but we don't. But regardless, okay, we're going to start with the AL East. My first question for you guys. Oh, she can't even hear. She's got headphones on. First question for you guys. Starting with the top of the standings, can Baltimore hold on?
I say no. Not with this current rotation. I say there's got to be some move there, but I don't know how they make that move with the state of their farm system. So.
And even if they make a move, can they hold on?
Perhaps not. Yeah. Not in this market. There's upside there, I guess, if Gausman starts to figure it out. He's had moments this season where he has. The offense has to be really, really good, and it's just hard to sustain that.
Can I fully agree with Anthony, but then also disagree?
That's my favorite kind of agreement.
Because everything he said I agree with, except that I say, yes, they can hold on. Because you're right. The pitching rotation is unimpressive, to say the least. And they're not really going to be able to get anybody, I think, who can really upgrade that. And yet they keep winning, right? Because that offense is really, really good. I think the infield defense is pretty underrated. And when everybody's healthy, that bullpen is almost as good as the Yankee bullpen. It gets like a half of the credit. But you have guys like Givens and O'Day and Britton. They're really brought, right? Really, really good at it. So while I do not buy into the rotation whatsoever, yes, they can hold on.
Maybe they just add another reliever and make it a
go all through.
Four-inning start.
The La Russa in 2011 postseason and just only go four or five innings. That didn't take long to me to get my Cardinal reference in there at all, by the way. Okay, looking at Boston, I'm not there every day, and I'm also not an insane Boston fan. So I don't quite understand why everyone is always wanting to fire Farrell. It's kind of a weird thing. I mean, he just won a World Series 3 years ago, and everyone seemed to like him then. first off, can he hold off the Reaper? I'm assuming if they don't make the playoffs, there probably will be a move made. But what does this team do? Are they going to make a move for a pitcher? What do they need to do?
They have to, right? Isn't that Dombrowski's style?
Yeah.
And now he's sitting on a gold mine of prospects.
Yes.
Now the question, I think, is what pitcher is that going to be? You hate to go like to the obvious answer, but it's going to be Rich Hill. We all know it's going to be Rich Hill. Rich Hill was probably a Red Sox like 3 weeks ago. You just didn't know about it yet. Because, you know, Sonny Gray hasn't really been pitching. There's just not a lot of really good pitching available because you look at the guys and the teams who are struggling, struggle for a reason. You know, you're not really going to get a lot of pitching help out of Minnesota. In Philadelphia, maybe like Jeremy Hellickson. I don't think the Braves are actually going to trade Julio Teheran.
Right.
So I think it's going to be something like Rich Hill. And then pray that David Price actually pitches better.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the biggest impact has to come internally from Price. I think that's pretty clear, especially given what is out there in the trade market. So, you know, it's... Everyone assumes that Dave DeRossi is going to be aggressive, but you have to have a market to be aggressive in, and we don't have that right now from a starting pitching perspective. So I don't think the Rich Hill trade is going to set Boston aflame with enthusiasm.
It's weird that he's still probably the best pitcher that's going to be out there.
Right? Maybe Pomerantz.
Right.
Even him, I don't know. Like he has never had real much of a track record. Yeah. So if you trade for him, he's going to get shut down in a month anyway. So that limits his value.
All right, and then it's funny, when you look at the baseball prospectus odds to win this division, the favorite is actually Toronto. Who is in third place. They are actually the favorite to win this division. Do you buy that? Do you agree with that?
I agree with that. They were my pick before the year. They're my pick now. I just think the way the offense has gotten on track to the offense we expected to be the last six or so weeks, I think the one difficulty there, of course, is Aaron Sanchez and him running out of steam at some point. But I kind of like what they're doing with him. They're just kind of letting him roll. I think he's got eight inning starts already, which is obviously not a plan you would do if you're really trying to limit his innings. I think they're just going until they see something in him that suggests fatigue, and until then, they're riding the hot hand. So I like that. I think Marcus Stroman will have a better second half than the first half. So, yeah, I'll take Toronto.
I picked Boston before the season. I think I'm still going to stick with Boston. I think just they're a better all-around team, especially if they will add a pitcher, right? And then you think about it, I know Price hasn't been what we expected. He's not been awful either. He's still striking out a ton of guys. Wright's been out of control. I still believe in Rick Porcello. And then let's say you add a good pitcher like a Rich Hill or somebody, and you put him in front of that lineup, that defense. Obviously, losing Kimbrel hurts, but I like Brad Ziegler a lot. So.
Not as much as what they traded for him would make you think. Right.
I'm sticking with Boston.
Okay, and then one quick question, two small questions for the Yankees. One, will they trade Chapman and or Miller? And two, it's been since 1992 that they have had a losing record. They are currently at the break 44-44. Are they going to be above 500 or below 500 at the end of the year?
I think they keep both of those guys, and I think they finish below 500.
Whoa, that's the worst of both of us.
Okay. I think they keep Miller, but they trade Chapman. Yeah. And I think they will finish right at 500. If I can totally cop that here.
That's right.
I think they should be sellers, but I don't think
they will.
It's not in their DNA and that whole thing. Yeah.
All right, going to the AL Central, Cleveland is 6.5 games up at this point. Have they created enough room to hold a playoff, or are they the best team anyway? Do you think they win the second half, regardless of even hanging on to the lead? Are they going to have the best record in the second half?
They're going to win the AL Central, yes, because that starting staff won't allow them to go in some kind of prolonged rut. And I just don't have a great deal of confidence in the other clubs in that division. Kansas City's been so banged up all year. It just feels like one of those years where things never really settle from that standpoint. And Detroit is fragile. The White Sox have had a roller coaster year so far. So, yeah, I think Cleveland holds on. Again, I mean, it's pretty obvious on the might of that starting rotation, but it keeps them in games so consistently that it's hard to imagine them going into a really sustained run.
When I made my division picks before the year and I look back at them now, I actually feel pretty good about them, except about 5 seconds before I finalized them, I swapped out Cleveland for Detroit. And I regret that immensely because I actually picked Carlos Carrasco as my Cy Young winner.
Right.
Not going to happen because he got hurt. I think Anthony's right. The rotation is out of control. I still think they need another outfielder. I don't really have any confidence in Brantley being able to contribute. I like Tyler Naquin, but you know how much can you count on him? I think they need somebody to play the outfield, and that shouldn't be that hard to find. I think, imagine they get Carlos Gonzalez and put him there. That's what an amazing fit. So that's what they need to do, but I do think they're going to win the division.
My preseason pick was actually the White Sox for the second straight year, and I looked really awesome for a month, and then less so. If anyone catches them in this division or wins enough games to take out a wild card, which team is it?
Detroit.
I
say Detroit.
Yeah, I'd probably say Detroit. A couple weeks ago, I would have said Kansas City, but their issues keep piling up, so I'd say Detroit.
Is this who Kansas City really is, or is this just injuries taking them down?
I think it's both, right? Because they're going to be able to look back at the season and say, well, who got hurt? You know, Stockton's got hurt, and Gordon got hurt, and the relievers got hurt, and that'll be, I think, a nice narrative. Yeah. But I also don't think that they were going to go back to the World Series for a third year in a row anyway.
Not with that rotation, yeah. The rotation inconsistency was kind of unavoidable, I think.
All right, going to the AL West, is Texas actually the best team in the American League?
I think so.
Depends on how you define it, right?
Okay, the one with the best record at the end of the season.
I would say yes.
Okay. Yes.
Because I don't think they're the best team. They've actually just have performed extremely well in the biggest spots. If you look at the team, there's really, other than Ian Desmond, maybe Cole Hamels, there's not a lot of standout seasons on that team. Even Nomar Mazara had a big spot. It was really them back to earth. Chewy's been hurt for a lot of the years, playing well now. I like them as a team, but it's a weird collection of guys who aren't really having great years, and I think that they're going to regress a bit, but they're still going to win the division.
Yeah, they're going to win the division. I think they'll finish with the best record in the American League. I think that they aren't particularly well suited to this trade deadline period. It doesn't matter what they do, if they go starter, reliever, what have you, but I think they might be the best situated club in the league as far as resources at this deadline.
And to have Darvish out the entire season, almost the entire season.
He's made three starts, so there's obvious upside there as he comes back. The Colby Lewis hit was a big one. So I think the rotation is certainly way outperformed its capabilities, but again, you get Darvish back in the second half, that's a huge boost.
Yeah, but it's really, I think their playoff run depends entirely on whether Yu Darvish is healthy.
Yeah.
Because even Cole Hamels, on the surface, looks like he's having a great season. He's having a weird season.
Yeah.
His home runs are up, his walks are up, but he's giving up his lowest ERA ever. It's been a very odd year.
Is Houston back? Is this a team that's now back and is a major wildcard contender?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that they were underperforming considerably early in the year. I think, obviously, Dallas Keuchel falling apart didn't help. He's been a little bit better lately. I think the lineup is for real. I think the bullpen has been shocking. And I think that's a big part of it. So, yeah, I'll say that they will end the season with one of the wildcard spots.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. And I'm excited to see if Alex Bregman comes up now,
having seen him
in the Rangers game the other day.
Yeah.
That would be a huge boost for their offense.
All right, and last team is, I don't know, I'm going to get into Oakland or Anaheim too much, but Seattle. Seattle's kind of in a weird spot because, like, they're above 500, but they're not, like, built for the future. It feels like this is their or bust year, which is a little kind of a terrifying idea when you think about it. Is there an upside for them getting Hernandez back, getting Walker back? Can they make a run?
I'm not buying it, but I think it's possible. I like that Paxton's throwing about 170 miles an hour.
Right.
And obviously, Cano and Cruz have been great, but I have too many holes on that team.
Yeah, I agree. For the record.
No, fair enough. Good. I wasn't gonna force you on that one.
Yeah.
All right, we will go to the National League. Honestly, when you look at the NL East, the first question, does Washington have this division wrapped up? Or are they, with the Mets problems and in Miami here or there, is Washington, I mean, it's funny to think, because I think there was this sense, I picked Washington to win the division before the year, and one of my favorite things about Mets fans is that, like, they're either, like, absolutely hate their team or absolutely adore their team. So I got hammered for it, but I have to say, I certainly didn't imagine they would be this far ahead. But going forward with the Mets, obviously, with having Harvey out, can anybody catch them, or the Nationals, are they all set up here?
I picked them to win it. I picked them to win the World Series, I believe. I just felt like the Mets were going to have this kind of come down in the rotation as the innings issues there. And I'm not saying I predicted elbow spurs all over the place.
Right.
But it's just a tough thing to sustain, with that. Their offense is pretty erratic. And Miami has had a really strong season. They are one injury away at any time from, potential issues there. They acknowledge that going into the year, but I do like that they're going for it. Fernando Rodney had two pretty underrated bullpen. So I think they'll hang around the wild card chase for sure, but I think this is Washington's division.
Washington's going to win the division, and I also predict Dusty Baker will get entirely too much credit.
Important. Well, you could have predicted that before the season.
I predicted him as my manager of the year entirely because
absolutely.
Of this.
Yeah, the manager of the year, the most narrative award.
Yes.
Like, it is definitely the most narrative 100%. Of all the awards. Well, then going forward, who's better the rest of the way? The Mets and the Marlins are tied, six game back, and they're actually tied in that second wild card spot. Who's better in the second half?
Oh, that's a tough question.
I'm a reporter.
Yeah.
Well, I ask the tough question.
I'm taking Miami.
You are?
Miami to the playoffs.
Oh, to the playoffs.
Yeah,
they're
going to
win a wild card.
Yeah.
So you're saying either the, if they make the playoffs, the wild card. So you're saying, I'm jumping ahead here. I know you're saying the Dodgers and the Pirates and the Cardinals.
Yeah, let's get nuts.
They're going to beat some of those teams out.
Yes, because, well, how many games do they have left against Philadelphia and Atlanta? I'd have to look at that, but that would
probably more than the Cardinals or Pirates or Rochester.
Yeah, so that factors in for me.
As I've completely derailed your podcast, yes. The answer to the question you actually wanted to know is I think the Mets will still beat out the Marlins.
You do.
I think it'll be close.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously a lot of worries. I mean, as I said, with not only having Harvey out, but the perpetual elbow spur issue. And troubles in the lineup as well.
Troubles in the lineup, but I think people have overlooked the fact that even though DeGrom's velocity is down slightly, he's still been really, really good. And people are acting like it's a disaster, and I just don't like that.
All right, then we don't need to talk too much about Philadelphia or Atlanta. We go to the NL Central. Sorry, Philadelphia, Atlanta.
We'll get you next time.
Yeah, exactly. Next year. 3 years. NL Central, it's kind of amazing considering how excited we were about the Cubs that I think they're 5 or 6 games under 500 for like the last month and a half. That doesn't seem – I don't – just as the first month Cubs is maybe not who they were. That still feels closer to who they were than the last month Cubs. Do you agree with that or not?
Yeah, I wouldn't be worried. I mean, I think to expect there weren't going to be some bumps in the road was to expect they were going to win 135 games, which was probably not ever going to happen.
That Fangraphs story of the first 2 week got everybody excited when it was like, are the Cubs just the perfect constructed team?
Yeah, right.
Get everybody like a little bit too excited.
It's like, slow your roll on that a little bit.
Those hacks.
I think the break came at a great time for them, even though half the team's right here in San Diego. I wouldn't be worried if I were Cubs fans. I'd be worried if like the first 2 weeks or so of the break, this is still happening.
Because
we've watched them a lot. We've done, I think, 5 straight Cubs games in MLB Plus, and they have just not been playing tight baseball, like errors and mistakes, and it's not what you expect from them. So slightly worried, but not worried.
Oh, I like that MLB Plus plug.
That's going to be in the intro, too. Don't worry.
Three of us at various points.
The Cubs had a major scheduling difficulty going into the break. I believe they have a tough schedule coming out of the break. They have definite bullpen issues that need to be ironed out, perhaps with some external additions there. Dexter Fowler being out has had a huge impact on them. You kind of think back to how he signed mid-spring and think about where they'd be without him.
I mean, that's really when their problems kind of started, is when he got hurt.
Is he the most valuable player on the Cubs?
I mean, he must be.
There's a definite line of demarcation there from when he went on the DL. So, but they're going to win this division. They're probably not. I don't think they're going to win 100 games. I think they really beat up on the Reds. They only got 6 games left against them. You look at their offensive numbers versus the Reds versus everybody. They're almost an average club offensively against teams other than the Reds. So I think that plays a part in this. But obviously, it's a strong team. Going to win the division. It's not going to be the historic record that we all wanted to see back in April.
It feels like they are the type of team that if Chapman or Miller go on the market, would not only go after one, but would go after both. Like, it feels like Epstein is the type of guy that's like, you know what, I'm flooring it. I've got this team, and there are, like, this
they
division
should.
Is really...
Yeah, I think you're right, but I argue that, like, they're not making these moves for the season, right? This is, like, they're building for October, and so if you get a reliever like that, what's he going to do, 6, 7, 8 innings? Right.
But isn't that the idea, though? Isn't it more impactful in the postseason?
But my point is, if you're acquiring this guy for, like, 6 or 7 or 8 innings, could you go after a guy like Will Smith, who's very, very good, like at 80% of the production for 40% of the cost or something like that? You know, maybe you don't have to give up Kyle Schwarber for it.
You might be right, but at the same time, I don't know when John Nestor's elbow is going to explode. I don't know what Jake Arrieta is going to be, how long he's going to be in Chicago, let alone what he'll be.
This is the time to floor it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I think they've waited long enough for a World Series in Chicago. I think you go for it.
I see no reason why they can't wait a little bit longer, which brings us to our next team here, the St. Louis Cardinals. I've had much frustration with this team this year. But it's funny, if you look at Baseball Reference simple rating system, which is always like just my back of the napkin, by the way, they are the second best team in baseball. I think they are behind the Cubs. I think the Nationals passed them, I think, in the last week of the season. But they've been right up there all year.
He looked all over the
internet. It's literally on the front page of Baseball Reference. It scrolls by. I didn't have to look that hard, but I did find it. Yes, certainly there's a lot of talent on this team. There's been a lot of frustration that their hitting has been a lot better than people thought it was going to be, and the pitching was not the historic thing they had last year. Do you think this? I mean, it feels like they're playing for a wild card now. Do you think they're one of the main contenders for that wild card? And if so, do you think they get it?
Contender,
yes. I don't think they get it. This has a feel of just kind of a transitional year, and some of the young guys they expected to step up haven't stepped up. You know, Grichuk and Wong. I don't know.
And Matt Carpenter's out at a very inopportune time.
That's a huge hit. It comes down entirely to how long he's out. Yeah. And I don't know the answer to that.
It's oblique, it's either 4 weeks or.
I would say
Back too early.
Has bounced back better than I thought he would.
Yes.
But without Carpenter, I mean, Carpenter's arguably the MVP of the league this year. I think that's a crushing blow.
And the Pirates, it's funny, just a week ago, a week and a half ago, we were talking about, okay, do the Pirates, the pro-trade McCutcheon columns,
right,
and all this kind of idea. And then they won 6 out of 7 or 7 out of 8. They swept the Cubs, and they're right back in. They're a half game behind the Cardinals. Do you think they just kind of let this ride, or should they push more? Speaking of teams in the transition year, they feel like a little bit of a transition year as well.
They could be sellers, right? Like, what would they sell? Melanson, right?
Yeah,
they're not going to trade
with
smaller pieces. They're not going to trade Cole. They're not going to trade McCutcheon.
No.
I don't even think they need to make the decision other than with their closer, you know, that we're sellers. So, yeah, you write it out for the next 2 weeks and see what happens.
All right, then we go to the NL West. Here, I'm curious. This, of course, the Giants have won 3 World Series in the last 5 years. Is this team better than those teams?
That's a fascinating question.
I'm a reporter. Damn it, I ask the tough questions.
I don't know that they are. I don't know.
I mean, they feel more complete in a lot of ways.
I say no because Brandon Belt's been awesome, but the rest, you know. You look at the rest of the infield. Like, Joe Panik hasn't really played like he did last year. Matt Duffy. The outfield's kind of a mess.
Yeah, you look at it, you don't know how they are, where they are at the break, frankly, because they've had some injury issues.
Yeah, bullpen's been kind of
a mess.
And then you look at the rotation, the top 3 guys have been awesome. Back half of that rotation's been kind of a mess. So, you know, obviously...
Samardzija has been great. I think he was the one that people were a little wary of.
And even he's been struggling lately.
He's been sometimes not so great. Yeah, so it's one of those teams where not everything has gone right by any stretch of the imagination, and yet...
They've been the best record in baseball.
Yeah.
Which brings you to the Dodgers. When you look at the Dodgers, if my first question is, if Kershaw is fine, are the Dodgers fine? Like, are they? Like, I mean, are they the best
totally
wild card team? Is it completely tied to that? Are they okay even if he has to rest out a little?
I think that they will be okay if he, you know, comes back
right.
by the end of July or
right.
somewhere in that time frame. I think the issue, you know, everybody talks about the starting pitching injuries, and while that's true, overall pitching's actually been really good. The bullpen's been shocking. It's the offense. It's always been the problem. And their big issue is, if you're going to go out and trade for somebody, where do you put that guy?
Yeah.
You're not going to dump Adrian Gonzalez. They already got 75 second basemen. You're not going to dump Justin Turner.
Right.
You obviously don't need a shortstop. You're going to add another outfielder? I mean, maybe that's where you go. I think that's where they're going to have trouble upgrading.
Yeah, and they've looked into Lucroy, but they don't know that that's a big enough of an upgrade there. It would seem anything would be an update over Yasmani Grandal, what he's produced this year. But. But how much is that really going to impact your offense overall? It's just, once again, a strange Dodgers team. It's, you know, over $200 million to get a bunch of question marks. And I don't know. It wouldn't shock me if they put it together because they do have, you know, they're going to be healthier with their arms, although it's not a seamless process integrating those guys in rotation, building them up and all that. But
Maeda is coming back around. He was great on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, Maeda's been great.
Yeah.
And I will say, Grandal had 3 home runs the other day.
Yeah, that's true.
So he's fine. Everything's good now.
He's one of those guys who will always be underrated because he's got an atrocious batting average. But when he's right, he actually crushes the ball.
Yeah.
So there's that.
All right, so we'll wrap up with your – who did you pick preseason, and who are you picking now to be in the World Series? You don't have to even tell me who wins because you're picking a 7-game
I think I did Washington over Texas in the World
Series.
You
didn't pick the Cubs for the World Series.
I didn't, no.
That's aggressive.
Because I just assume that something will go terribly wrong. It's the Chicago Cubs.
You sound like everybody in my family.
I lose
sight
of that.
That's
yeah.
totally valid.
That still can happen, yeah.
I think – I'm trying to remember. I know I picked the Cubs. I think it was over the Red Sox.
I know what I want. I mean, I want Cubs-Indians World Series.
Yeah.
I think the angst that would be involved in that. Now, the angst is lessened now that the Cleveland team actually won a title, but there's still a great deal of organizational angst there to overcome. So that would be the most fun World Series matchup for me.
Well, we assume that Cleveland's standing after next week, which we'll
yes.
see first.
Yes, exactly.
That's
I will
right.
be there first day to report on how things are going. Of course, you know Cleveland as well. All right, well, thank you guys for coming on and chatting with me. I think Castro and Mike Petriello. You can find them both all over MLB.com. It's the second half preview. Thanks for playing around with me, guys. And I'm sorry Allison wasn't here, even though I literally can wave to her over in the corner. She's waving
back.
That's fantastic. All right, thanks for coming on, guys.
Absolutely.
Thank you.